from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
This is Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
Here's Saul Tillamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball
isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
There's no secret that I'm all in on Dylan Cease, whether that's with the White Sox or with another team. But with the rumors flying around that he is going to be a hot commodity in the trade market, we felt like it was very important to figure out where he's going to land. If no other reason, we need to find out where the disc golf tournament, ballpark tournament, is going to be this year. But before we get going, before we do the Who Says No with our guy Sammy from the Who Says No crew and Play Tessie podcast, before we do that, let's just go back to the podcast that we had Dylan Cease on with Reese Green, our guy Reese. And we just wanted to ask Dylan a little bit about his motivation and his mindset and everything else heading into 2024. So that'll get your heart rate pumping. That'll get the adrenaline going. And then, boom, here we come, Sammy and I talking about what trade you might be able to make to get Dylan Cease. And if I was running a team, I would want to trade for Dylan Cease. That's just me. And we're going to have these fake trades coming up, one with the Cardinals, one with the Red Sox. But first, here's Dylan Cease.
Congratulations, because I say congratulations because this is how highly I think of you beyond what you've done for the book and for Joe and for poetry and disc golf and all this. I picked you to win the Cy Young because I think that highly of you, and I'll do it again next year. I vow you to you right now. I will do that. But what is the thing that you have evolved over the course of this year that you got better at or that you learned?
I think a big thing is I've kind of learned that like tinkering with your mechanics when things aren't going right isn't always a great idea or a great way to fix it. For instance, kind of towards the end of the year, I really just, instead of tinkering with my body, I just started visualizing a lot more and try to use my mind and sort of, I guess, trust my body, if I guess would be the right word. I guess from that standpoint, anytime you have another full season of experience, you've gained that much more reps and experience. And this year I can look at it as like, maybe I learned a lot of what not to do, you know, and that's less fun than the Cy Young year where, you know, everything's going right and you're, you know, it's all effortless. But, you know, this year was hard mentally, physically, and in every way. So I think inevitably that's bound to make me stronger. Like I said, I learned that not to get too crazy mechanical if things aren't going right. And ultimately, I think having a season like that has made me more hungry than I've been in a while to kind of go out and show that I'm better than what I was able to produce last year.
See, you're my David Goggins. Me, I'm ready to fire. I'm fired up. Reese, you got anything to finish off with here?
Yeah, man. I mean, first off, that's a great mindset. I mean, just as like a former player, obviously not to that extent, but like sometimes that is like the hyper-focus can lead to like almost backtrack, right? Like you can get into the, like a lot of guys don't talk about the mental headspace sometimes, which it's all there all the time, especially in a 162 game year. But even like to loop it back into what we've been talking about here, like I learned when I was playing at a high level that like sometimes having something else to also hyper focus on, maybe it's disc golf, maybe it's whatever it is, you know, maybe it's poetry for some guys, who knows, but sometimes that can lead to and that can lead to growth. And I mean, you got a great mindset on it, and you know, learning from the hardships is what's going to make you
that's
know,
a great
blast
point.
Off into that upper echelon. So
yeah, cool. I pick up a new hobby. I think I pick up a new hobby about every 6 months as well. Keep me going.
Hey, there you go. Hell yeah. What are some other ones you got?
I got painting. I'm considering.
Are those yours in the back?
Yeah, I got a couple hung up right now.
Oh, nice.
I'll tell you what. I'll show you my spring training inspired one. I'll get you guys this.
Ooh, nice.
Let's go.
I love painting.
Hey.
Nice. That's awesome.
Cacti, I love
that. Painting's hard for me because I can't draw. So everything I have to do.
You using acrylics or oil or what? What do you got?
Yeah, acrylic. Something like that.
Get into oil painting and really feel like you don't know what you're doing.
I've researched it. And I'm like, there's like 8 steps to cleaning your brush. I can't do this right now. I don't have the time for it. Yeah, acrylic's the perfect. All I got to do is. It's like you can just throw
paint everything. Down.
Yeah, it's painting was really great for me. I started doing that end of 2022 when I was kind of getting a little burnt out, and it really recharged me. So I would consider entrepreneurship as well with my disc golf. That's why it's cool that disc golf has kind of turned into two hobbies, because now it's you know, there's kind of the business element of it, and the buying land, starting LLCs, handling kind of all that stuff. That's as much as sometimes it's not pleasant, it's really fun to like have a vision and try to be creative with it and see if you can make something successful. And getting to partner with Paul on disc golf is, I'm very lucky to be able to do it. So yeah, we're hoping to do some big things with it.
All right, lower the heart rate. All right, here we go. All right, now after all you executives have listened to that, you know this guy is ready to roll. Now comes a time where you have to trade for him. So we got a couple good fake trades. Sammy's the man, along with all the Playtessie guys. Go follow them at Playtessie, that podcast. But Sammy, Gordo, Coop, Pat, the Who Says No guys, this is their jam. When you want a fake trade, when you want a legitimate trade proposal, then you go to these guys. And today it's Sammy's turn. So here you go. Here's myself and Sammy chopping it up with some fake Dylan Cease trades. Also, subscribe, rate, review. Subscribe, rate, review. Subscribe, rate, and review. That's 5-star review. And at BB isn't boring. At BB isn't boring. Hope everyone's ready to have a great week, an outstanding week. All right, here you go. Sammy, myself, who says no to these Dylan Cease trades?
All right, selfishly, we're doing this Dylan Cease who says no. Sammy, have we done a Dylan Cease who says no before? I feel like
a while back. Yeah. I think I remember.
But that was like. Trade deadline, right? That was trade deadline.
Yeah. This was months ago.
Okay. All right. So it's his name's going to only come up more and more and more. But Sammy, I didn't even tell you this. The real reason, the selfish reason, was because when Dylan Cease was on this podcast, we made it a goal to have a disc golf tournament at a ballpark. And he was like, oh, that's a great idea. It's a great idea. So before we get the wheel spinning in terms of guaranteed rate field, we have to know where he's going to be. So we can't have the Dylan Cease charity disc golf ballpark tournament unless we know what ballpark it's going to be in. Right? Correct?
Naturally, yeah.
But doesn't that seem like an awesome idea? I was like, you play disc golf. Like, you have a built-in course, the ballpark.
Well, yeah, and that's going to factor in gigantically into if he signs an extension with the team he is eventually traded to. So, like, if they're not willing to put together a good disc golf course, say goodbye.
What would be the best ballpark for a disc golf tournament?
Easy. Oakland. It's gigantic. useless, and there's nobody there.
and you know, in fairness, the professional disc golf league, which Dylan Cease is a big fan of, that might actually take over that stadium in like a year. Like that might, you might just stumbled upon breaking news. That's just what.
Like more space, like Fenway would be the worst option, of course. Oakland has so much space. They have more foul territory than any ballpark on the planet. So you already got that going for you. It's the size of a football field. You can even use the stands because there's probably not going to be many people in them. So yeah, that's my answer. Easy choice.
No, so I would somewhat disagree with you because you're right. I think overall you're right. But the intricacies of a place like Fenway or let's say like Minute Maid Park with that weird alcove in left center. So those sort of things lend themselves. Like if you could put one of the holes up on the Green Monster, right?
Okay, I didn't know we were getting that abstract. Then
well,
maybe
I mean,
okay,
that's what it's about. And then you actually have one of the tee boxes from the top of the Green Monster. So, but I'm not saying that Oakland still, because of the space and because the, let's be honest, because of the availability also. So, yeah.
Very, very available, wildly available. In fact, you know, I was not being creative enough. I didn't think of like using the monster. I guess like Wrigley might be tough because it's a cool ballpark, but the dimensions are pretty standard and it's small. So there you go. Sorry,
yeah.
Fenway.
Yeah, I'm trying. Yeah. So anyway, it's something to think about. But this is wherever Dylan Cease lands, this is going to happen. Let it be said. Let it be done. So we have to find out where you could potentially land. A lot of buzz about, because Sammy, before we get to the fake trades for Dylan Cease, understand this, is that the pitching market is such that teams that have guys like Dylan Cease, Tampa Bay, like Tyler Glasnow, like Milwaukee, Corbin Burns, they are going to do everything they can to find a great deal because there are so many teams who desperately need those type of guys, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yes, correct. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Oh, all right. All right, good. All right, which one do you want to start with first?
I want to start with the one that I think is a little bit more realistic and probably a slightly better fit.
Okay, go ahead. First one.
All right, Dylan Cease, just Dylan Cease, nobody else, no prospect. He's headed to the St. Louis Cardinals for Brendan Donovan, the utility superstar and their number one pitching prospect. This is such a good name. Tink Hentz. And I hope I pronounced it right. Hentz. Tink Hentz. So here's my reasoning. You could argue that the Cardinals need starting pitching more than any team in Major League Baseball. And so far they've added two. Kyle Gibson, Lance Lynn. What do those two have in common? They devour innings. Innings eaters. Dylan Cease, while he's a much higher quality pitcher at this point in his career, he does the same thing. Very good pitcher as well, so he's garnered Cy Young votes in 2022. Little bit of a down year in 2023, but he was on a dysfunctional White Sox team, and you know his surface numbers, they're kind of deceptive. If you look under the hood, he's got a 3.72 FIP and a very high strikeout rate, almost 11 through 9 innings. The knock on Cease is that he's got a high walk rate. He's a little bit wild. You can mark that off as effectively wild. We know how that works. So yeah, he's a guy that the Cardinals could put at the top of their rotation. Maybe not the number one that they would be hoping for, but you know, a very high quality number two pitcher, a guy that they'd love to have. White Sox wise, this makes sense for them because they're going through a little like rebuild, retool, whatever you want to call it.
They're doing a roster enema is what they're doing.
Yeah, so roster. People get so offended when you say rebuild. They're like, we're not doing that. We're not doing anyway.
No, but listen, when not to interrupt you, Sammy, but when the GM comes out and says, I don't like our roster, which is what he did.
Yeah.
Good for him because nobody else liked his roster either.
All right. So I'm not crazy to think they might be doing a little bit of a retool here, but here's why it makes sense for them. Donovan, young player still. He's going to be 27 years old. He won the utility gold glove, which is like a fairly newish thing, I believe. I honestly like heard about it last year, I think, for the first time, but it's sick. He's got a utility gold glove, bats left-handed in his two seasons. He's got a 120 OPS plus. and he's team controlled through 2027. So while he's MLB ready, that's still a building block for a team that's rebuilding. And then Hence, meanwhile, doesn't need much explanation. 42nd overall prospect by MLB Pipeline. He's got a monstrous fastball, good build, just 21 years old. That's the kind of guy you want in your farm system, especially for a team like Chicago, who's got meh. That's how I would describe their farm system, is meh. So, yeah, that's my trade. Cease to the Cardinals. Brendan Donovan, Tink Hence, going back to the White Sox.
All right. So I think it's a good one. The White Sox, when they were dangling Cease at the deadline, their asking price was insane. Like, it was crazy. For instance, I'll give you an example. The next team you're going to do, spoiler alert, is the Red Sox, right? So they were asking for Brian Bello and other players. And the answer to that would be, well, I wouldn't trade Brian Bello for Dylan Cease. A lot of people would say that, right? But by doing this, you aren't just doing that. And I heard the same thing with Arizona. Arizona was like Jordan Lawler, or, you know, Jordan Lawler and who am I thinking of? The pitcher,
Fott.
Yeah. Brendan Fott. So like, and blah, 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 blah. But so I think that they probably would be a little more realistic now that you've gotten to the off season and now you know you need building blocks, and those two are good building blocks, as long as our good friend Tank is okay. But that's the big thing. How do they value Tank?
Tank. Well, here's what I'd say about that. I feel like the deadline, and please correct me if I'm wrong, the deadline makes more sense to have those crazy asks, because you get teams who are kind of
desperate.
We got this. We're in the moment. We'll go for it. Let's do it. Rather than the offseason where it's like, okay, we have more time. Look at free agency. Look at other options. So that's why I kind of went with the, you know, I think this is very fair for both sides. I don't think anyone's getting fleeced. I think the Cardinals get what they want. I think the White Sox get what they should get. Maybe not what they want, but what they should be doing. So yeah, that's the logic behind it. Nothing crazy.
I think you're right, because look at it this way, is that at the deadline, if you need pitching, you have one avenue to get it. This time around, right here, right now, you have another avenue. You can just pay money, you know, as the Cardinals did with Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn. And by the way, a Dylan Cease Lance Lynn reunion. Who doesn't want that? I mean,
timing wise as well. Chicago's number one pitching prospect is Noah Schultz, and he's not supposed to be in Major League Baseball until like 2026. He's in single A right now. He's 20 years old. So it's not like they have any high quality pitching prospects close to ready.
Even with the guy they got from the Dodgers. I want to say Dan Pastorini, but that's a Houston Oilers quarterback from the 70s.
They got it wasn't
Nestrini. Nestrini.
They got Eater from Miami, and he's not like a top flight pitching.
Which by the way is insane that you weren't able to get back a top flight pitcher for a guy in Jake Berger who is under control for the next 18 years. So. And it's going to be in the middle of the line.
It's his profile, right? Like, not a great defensive third baseman, good power, but strikes out a lot. He's like, it reminds me to a much higher degree of like Hunter Renfro, where it's like, yeah, valuable, but this profile is so common nowadays.
Listen, all I know is that he was in the middle of that order on a playoff team that he helped them get to the playoffs. He'll get better defensively. If he has to shift over to first, so be it. He's a young guy with a ton of control, and like, you should have gotten more for him. So there you go.
Marketing-wise, that's a marketing goldmine. Jake Berger, and he's a big guy.
Well, that's what – I mean, the White Sox weren't even doing anything with it, and then he went to Miami, and all of a sudden, every single burger out place. Oh, but can I tell you really as a quick aside for the Baseballs and Boring family listeners? This is – So we're going to be having another member of the family coming up here. Yeah. Guy who's been on the podcast, was actually on the Dylan Cease podcast, Reese Green. So Reese was the guy who was the Randy Johnson Halloween costume.
Yeah.
Professional baseball player in Australia, professional baseball in Czech Republic, and now stand-up comedian. So he was excellent on the podcast. He did talk about his Halloween costume. Was excellent on the podcast because he had relatives who were in the world of disc golf. So the symbiotic relationship between him and Dylan Cease was off the charts. And now, I don't want to spoil all of it, but he is going to do a podcast. So he has a friend. I hope I'm not misrepresenting this. He has two friends who got in on the OnlyFans craze very early on, and they're renting out the Marlins ballpark for 2 hours to play baseball.
Wow.
But there's no like shenanigans, no like R-rated stuff going on. This the love of the game. They're using that OnlyFans money for the love of the game. They're renting it out just for their friends to play baseball, and Reese is one of them. So I find this fascinating.
Isn't Reese, isn't he located in Boston?
Seattle.
Oh, why did I think he was? The picture he posted looked like he was in the T. That's why I thought that, I think. And then you found,
actually, he was in New York. The Halloween picture of him is Randy Johnson and his girlfriend. Alex is the bird that Randy Johnson killed. That was actually taken in New York City.
So, okay. Yeah. I knew it was an East Coast looking subway, but yeah.
But I'm psyched. He's got a great personality, and I don't really like. He said, "Oh, listen, we got to do something with this," and I agree. And I think that Sammy, the best thing to do with it, and you correct, I'm all ears. But the best thing is, don't get complicated. Just do a podcast with these people who are renting out this park.
Yeah, you get the full story. I mean, that's an interesting. I mean, yeah. what a perfect. When I saw that you tracked this guy down and had him on the show, that's the most Bradfoe thing ever. Guy's a comedian, traveled the world playing baseball professionally. Like, what a fit on this show!
It's part of the family. And then he was on with Dylan Cease, and those two hit it off. And now we've integrated the whole disc golf crew.
Oh my god! Can you imagine they start a show and it's called Cease and Reese?
Oh, hold on. Let me write that down.
Cease and Reese. There you go. That's free.
That is an awesome idea.
That one's free for you.
Cease and Reese.
As a contingent on Cease being traded to the Red Sox and extended, of course. So.
Well, it doesn't. Yeah. I mean, but the weird thing was, is that so Reese was already like, we're going down this road of podcasting, but it just so happens that his uncle is in the Smithsonian for disc golf. So it was like this perfect storm. And now that is the best name, impromptu name for a podcast that I've had, not knowing how the podcast is going to be, but just wanting to do it for the name, since I randomly did two guys who barely spoke English at the time, Felix DeBrant and Ruby De La Rosa, the Ruby and Doobie show.
Ruby and Doobie.
I did 8 minutes of broken English.
So. All right, well, maybe I'll be in Seattle next month. Maybe I can give Reese.
All right. Let's go.
Party.
All right. Let's go. Number two. Trade number two.
All right. So, excuse me. Second trade. Normally on Baseball Isn't Boring, I stay away from Red Sox because I talk Red Sox all the time. Like to switch it up. But the fit makes so much sense here. I had to do it. So here it is. Red Sox get Dylan Cease and Eloy Jimenez, who you may have forgotten about. The White Sox get Jaron Duran, Nick York, and Luis Perales. So it's a big, big package going over to Chicago. So reasoning being, similar to St. Louis, the Red Sox are in pursuit of starting pitching in a big way. They also need a right-handed hitting outfielder, preferably with power. And in this scenario, the Red Sox addressed both needs while providing the White Sox some great tools to help with this rebuild, retool, enema. So we've discussed Cease already, so let's chat Eloy. He produced very well when he's healthy, but not quite to the level that he was advertised prior to 2019 when he debuted. He turns 27 in, I believe, 3 or 4 days. He's due $13 million in 2024, so not bad. He has a club option for the following season, 2025, for $16.5 million. So it gets a little bit more expensive. And then another one the following year for $18.5 million. So it's not the worst contract ever, but it's not great for a team like Chicago that's moving some stuff around and been open about cutting costs. But I think a team like the Red Sox could stomach this contract more and kind of bank on a spike in production, putting him in Fenway Park, right-handed hitting paradise. It's a mouthful. And he could also split time with Yoshida in left field. That's a guy they want to get off their feet. So it's a good fit for the roster. The Cease fit is kind of self-explanatory. They need starting pitching desperately. They need inning eaters desperately. Check, check. So there you go. And then replacing Duran, they got Rafael. They could slot right in, highlight that improved defense. White Sox-wise, they get a cost-controlled budding star in Jaron Duran, who was unbelievable, kind of under the radar nationally, I feel, last season. 34 doubles and 24 steals in limited time. He wasn't playing the entire season either. So that's pretty impressive when you know, add the context to it. 121 OPS plus, which is outstanding. Defense in center field is improving. It's still not great, but it's getting better. He's ARB eligible till 2028, his age 31 season. On top of that, Chicago adds Nick York, who's a very nice hitting prospect, plays second base. Also a guy whose defense is slowly improving. That was the big knock on him. And then the Red Sox top pitching prospect, Luis Perales, who just throws gas. This kid is nasty. They just protected him. So that tells you how they feel about him. So that's it. Cease and Jimenez to Boston. Duran, York, Perales to Chicago.
All right. So my initial reaction was that the White Sox wouldn't do it because it's not enough major league certainty. My guess here, let me counter. My guess is that they would try to substitute Perales for Houck.
Sure. I'd almost prefer that. The reason I didn't have Houck, I did initially have Houck in the trade, is I'm not sure that Chicago sees him as a starting pitcher. And if they don't see him as a starting pitcher, I'm not sure they're going to be super interested. But yeah, that was the original trade, actually, was Houck. But then I felt like maybe Perales, because he's ascended so much. He's got a lot of helium. I figured maybe the rebuild team would rather that. But yeah, you could.
The thing that I pause about in the original deal is that you have two guys who you really don't even know if they're going to be major leaguers, and York and Perales. So you think they are, but and York is sort of limited in terms of his position. That's another thing, which is when every time his name came up, we talk about trades and such. The company line is, yeah, he probably will hit in the major leagues, but he's locked in pretty much a second, and he's going to hit for enough for a corner infielder. But I think that he's sort of at a crossroads. He had a pretty good year this year in Double A, but I think he's a little bit of at a crossroads of saying, okay, this, you have to start defining what you are going to be in the major leagues. And so anyway, I think that there's a little uncertainty, Perales, when you say he's a Red Sox number one pitching prospect. That's like saying, I don't know. It's like saying that, you know, I'm the fastest one amongst podcasters.
You have the highest paid contract on the A's, like that. And I keep saying, I hear you. The reason I think Chicago might consider it is Eloy Jimenez. Feel like that's another guy who's very limited, not a good fielder at all.
Well, that's why he's a DH.
Yeah. So, but that's what I'm saying is, like, they're not going to want to pay him this money. I figured they want to offload him and get something back for him as well. Send him to Boston. He's a better fit. Put him in left field half the time, DH half the time with Yoshida. Defensive wizardry out there in left for the Red Sox. Yeah. You know, and of course, if Chicago would be like, add a little bit more, I wouldn't be super upset about it if they want to add, you know, Bastardo or something, like one of those mid-tier prospects to sweeten the pot.
All right. Well, I think that you're on the right trolley. You're on the right. I mean, there's another thing it comes back to is how they value Duran, because you had rattled off star in the making, but, you know, we have to figure this out again. How old is Duran now? Is he 26?
He's 20. Let me see.
So
Jaron Duran he just turned 27 in September.
Yeah. So another crossroads guy, I think. And
I feel like what he showed last year, like he'd shown flashes in the past, But last year was a kind of a step above a flash.
I would agree with that. And by the way, much better defensively, much better defense.
Yeah. Yeah. He went from a very bad outfield defender to like a serviceable, good.
Well, what's crazy was that I love some good baseball savant talk. And all of a sudden, I would love to do like who took the biggest step in what categories. If you took every baseball savant category, who took the biggest step? I can tell you, no pun intended, that the Duran's first step or whatever, initial step, whatever they call that, he went from lower tier to like one of the best in baseball.
Yeah, base running value, 97th percentile.
But what was his outfield jump? What was his outfield jump?
Outfield jump.
I need to give myself some good outfield jump talk.
Range-wise, he's 52nd percentile, so right about middle. He doesn't have a good arm, but like... Good arm value. Outfield jump. Where's outfield jump? I don't think they have.
There must be. Am I making this up? What's going on? Anyway. Come on,
yeah. Well, I mean, he's fast. The knock on him when he was coming up was that he's not kind of like a wide receiver, not a good route runner. Like he's fast, but he wasn't efficient, and he cleaned that up a little bit this year. I don't know. We're not saying he's a great defender, but he's not going to hurt you.
No, but he could make an all-star team.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked at all. You know, if he started the season hot like he eventually got, he might have actually made it last year. He was close, I feel, in my head of making this all up, but I feel like he was close.
No, you're right. You're on the trolley. All right, well, Wade Boggs didn't retweet you today, did he?
Nothing yet. Wade and I... making it like I'm like friends with Wade Boggs. No, we haven't spoken today.
All right. Well, everyone go to the Baseballs and Boring social media to look at the John Schreiber podcast from earlier this week, where Sammy revealed that Wade Boggs gave him the ultimate hangover cure, which I feel like Wade should embrace. I mean, he's embraced the whole I've drank a million beers on a plane thing. So,
yeah. I mean, have you seen Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Yes.
So cool.
Yeah. I think he should embrace the fact that he scientifically has solved all hangover problems.
Yeah. Well, like I mentioned on the show, I'm not a very big drinker. I haven't even had a chance to test this yet. So we'll see. It's almost been a year. I don't want to test it, but stuff happens.
Can we, when we do this, there's winter weekends all over the globe, right? All over Major League Baseball. That this is going to be what we're going to do, and you're going to be the leader of this. Okay. At every winter weekend, we're going to ask one fan to do the Wade Boggs hangover challenge, which is get really drunk, and then the next day eat scrambled eggs and drink chocolate milk and see the effects.
Yeah, science. This is science.
It is science. It's like this. We much like baseball, we rely on information. So there you go. And instincts. My instincts say it's a good idea.
My instincts say everyone should head to beautiful tropical Springfield, Massachusetts for winter weekend 2020. Do they do it when is it? December? January?
January. Yeah.
Winter weekend 2020.
The one I want to see. Did you see? So the best juxtaposition of winter weekends was the Red Sox one where they're booing everybody, right? And by the way, as I think Dan Shaughnessy pointed out, not on the docket. The town hall is not on the docket this year.
Why is that? It went so well last year.
I know. And then you juxtapose it against San Diego, where they had like millions of people showing up just celebrating the awesomeness of all these signings, Xander Bogaerts and Fernando Tatis and Juan Soto and all these guys. It was insane. So I'm fascinated by Fan Fest / winter weekends, whatever they are. But we're gonna spice it up. We're gonna have basically what we should do is set up a booth at every place saying if you imbibed last night, we are serving free scrambled eggs and chocolate milk.
Have Wade Boggs there to serve it.
All right. Excellent job. We got a lot done.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time
for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.